Good morning. Today's daf and beis is your test. We're on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. I know yesterday on Shabbos we did this, but we're going to do this again. This is as far as I got in terms of the recording yesterday. Anyway, Vishoven. So we are going to go back. We are going to be discussing a little bit more regarding Toveling on Yontif. So are you allowed to Tovel on Yontif and Shabbos? So you yourself, yes, you're allowed to Tovel on Yontif and Shabbos. See, you can even Tovel on Yom Kippur. You can even Tovel on Tisha B'Av. Now, mind you, by the way, and I mentioned this yesterday, but mind you, but nowadays we don't Tovel on Tisha B'Av and we don't Tovel on Yom Kippur, and for obvious reason, obvious after you know it, but and for obvious reason, and Tosfos makes this point in yesterday's daf, and that is that the entire discussion of the Gemara was in relationship to Tumah Tahara. So when we lived in a world of Tumah Tahara and you wanted to be Matar yourself for Yontif, and you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, and you can't eat Karbanos while you're in the state of Tumah, so therefore you have to Tovel. Now I understand Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is not Yontif, but in the sense you're in the Beis HaMikdash, but still. In other words, it's all in relationship to Tumah Tahara. So Tumah Tahara is obviously a daily experience, and so therefore the allowance to Tovel in the Mikvah would apply to every day of the year, including Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. However, nowadays we are not Nizar B'Tumah Tahara. Unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we're all in the state of Tumah, and we don't have a Parah Aduma, so for us, Tumah Tahara is not going to be on the front burner. It's going to be not even on the back burner. It's really back there. And b'mher b'yameinu when Mashiach comes, so Tumah Tahara will be reintroduced. And okay, but until that point in time, so the only things now in terms of mikvah that have practical effect on us is going to be bein ish l'ishto between husband and wife. Obviously on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, so there is no bein ish l'ishto. So therefore, nowadays the mikvahs are closed. In other words, 2 days of the years that the mikvah are closed are Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. So, in contradistinction to the fact that the Gemara yesterday said that the mikvahs remain open on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but obviously bezmanenu they're not open on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Good. Just an end point to go back to yesterday's daf. In the meantime, however, so you're allowed to Tovel. So you yourself, yes, you're allowed to Tovel. Your Kalim, you're not allowed to Tovel on Yontif or on Shabbos. So why are you not allowed to Tovel your Kalim on Yontif and Shabbos? So that's yesterday's daf. Meaning the Amoraim give different reasons why it is that you're not allowed to Tovel Kalim on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a gzera de Rabbanan. That we could say really simple. And then afterwards, it gets a little bit more complicated because there are four opinions in the Gemara in terms of why it is that the Chachamim banned Tovel and Kalim on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, so I'm not going to chazer all of yesterday's daf again, but you're not allowed to. Okay, it's a nista de Rabbanan to Tovel your Kalim on Shabbos and Yontif. Good. That's what we learned yesterday's daf. We did, however, learn that you're allowed to do hashaka. Now, what is hashaka? So we explained yesterday. So by foods cannot become tahor. Once a food becomes tame, that's it. It's forever tame for the duration of the food. And the same thing is true with liquids as well, with notable exception to water. Water can become tahor. How do you matar water? So you do the process of hashaka. So you take drinkable water and you lower it into the mikvah just to the point where there's now communication. There's contact between the water of the mikvah and the water that you are drinking from. And then you pull it out and now the water experienced a tahara. How did that water experience tahara? So Rashi back in the Mishnah said that is a process. What the Mishnah describes as hashaka, Rashi calls it zriya, which means that basically what you're doing is you're replanting the water. Much like when you take a seed, you plant it in the ground and it grows, that new growth is a total new entity. So too with the water, once the water goes into the mikvah, just making contact with the mikvah, so it's as if it's planted in the mikvah, and now when you're pulling it out again, it's ke'ilu, it's like it's a new growth, it's a new entity, it's zriya. Good. So that's the process of hashaka. Hashaka is in fact allowed on Yontif. Good. That's what the Mishnah said. Then the Mishnah said immediately afterwards, ein matbilin. But you could do hashaka, but you can't tovel the kli, which in the Mishnah is a redundant point, meaning the Mishnah already established that you can't tovel the kli. So what's the Mishnah mean by that? That's the Gemara's question, and that's where we're going to pick it up. V'shavim shemashikin samayim b'kli evin, my avalo matbilin. But then when the Mishnah went on to say that you're not matbil, so amar shmuel ein matbilin se kli al gav meimav l'taro b'yom tov. So it means like this, that despite the fact that you are allowed to do hashaka, but here's what you can't do. What you can't do is that you can't, in addition to doing hashaka, also tovel your kli. So let's say, for example, not only do you want to do hashaka with the water inside, but it happens to be that the kli right now is also tame. Oh, and by doing hashaka, you're also going to be toveling the kli. And your argument is, well, I know you're not allowed to tovel kalim, but I'm not really tovel kalim. I'm really doing hashaka. It just happens to be that the tefillah is happening agav. It's incidental. So that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling you. Mishnah is telling you that no, you can't tovel a kli. You can't even tovel a kli incidentally. So the Gemara says, "Mani masisin lo Rebbe v'lo Rabban." Okay. So in our Mishnah, what do we learn? That toveling a kli is out of the question, rabbinically banned. Hashaka is mutter. Toveling a kli agav, incidental to hashaka, also is usur. Okay. So now, with that stated, our Mishnah is following whose position? Well, what are our choices? So the Gemara is going to introduce us to a brisa, Ditanya. So we learned in a brisa, ein matbilin as a kli agav meimav lataro vein mashikin as mayim bekli evan lataro divrei Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, you can't tovel, you can't do hashaka. And v'chacham emomrim matbilim kli agav meimav lataro mashikin as mayim bekli evan lataron. And according to Chachamim, so you can do a shaka, and you can do incidental toveling of a kli. Okay, so now the problem now becomes obvious. Meaning in our Mishnah, so it said yes to a shaka, but no to incidental tefila. So the Gemara says now we have two choices, and of course we don't have a match. Our Mishnah does not match with either of the two choices. Money, I Rebbe kashi hashaka, I Rebbe kashi hadbala. So that obviously presents a problem. So, e by Zemarebi, v by Zemaraban. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll have to do, a little bit of fancy footwork, but we're going to be able to plug our Mishnah into either Rebbe or the Chachamim. It's just now a question of how to properly learn the Mishnah and the Brisa we just learned. E by Zemarebi. So it could be that, that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, and Reisha the Brisa be Yomtov. Now, as far as the Reisha the Brisa is concerned, that's talking about Yomtov, is Sefer b'Shabbos. And the end of the Brisa is talking about Shabbos, meaning. So when the Brisa said that you could do Ashaka, so that's talking about Anyantiv. Anyantiv, you're allowed to do Ashaka. When the Brisa said that you're not allowed to do, we are going like Rebbe, sorry. When the Brisa, let me do that again, let me do it better. When the Brisa said that you can't do Ashaka, so that's talking about on Shabbos. When the Brisa said that you are not allowed to do incidental tefillah, that's talking about anyantiv. Okay. So, in other words, splitting the brisa between Shabbos and yantiv, and now going back to our Mishnah, so our Mishnah fits in because our Mishnah is just talking about anyantiv. Good. That's it. And now it will become a match. And then, of course, what we have to open up is the idea that there's a difference between Shabbos and yantiv vis-a-vis Ashaka. So, why would there be a difference between Shabbos and yantiv vis-a-vis Ashaka? Okay, that... The Gemara does not make that point clear, but that's one way to say it. V'kula masisim b'yamtiv. And like I just said, and our Mishnah is going like yamtiv. That's one possibility of how to learn it. Ibai Semas, we're now on the top of your Testament Aleph. Another way to say it is Rabbanan, that really our Mishnah is going like the Shita of the Chachamim, and v'kula masisim b'shabbos. And then what you're going to say is that with the Chachamim that give full allowance for Hashaka and allowance for incidental tefillah, our Mishnah says that incidental tefillah is not okay. Our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos. Now, that's obviously a little bit difficult because our Mishnah is located where? Geographically, in Masechta Beitza. So that's a little bit strange that our Mishnah is describing the ban and the prohibition of toveling and even incidental tefillah, and it's talking about Shabbos, not talking about Yontif. Okay, that part's a little bit strange. But again, that's the nuance that the Gemara is trying to do right now in terms of trying to take what we know from the Brisa and plug it into the Mishnah. Okay, so it is possible to either plug Rebbe or the Chachamim into our Mishnah. Fine. You'll notice a long Rashi over here. Rashi over here is struggling with Gersos of the Gemara. I presented the Gemara really in a simple, straightforward fashion and see more discussion about what the correct Gersa is. See Rashi for that. Tana Rabbanan. We continue. Klishanit Mamer of Yontov, Ein Matbilin Oso Benashmashos. Okay, so if you have a kli that becomes tamei on erev yontiv, so you can't tovel it during benishmashos, right? As we know, as days transition into night, so there is a transition period. We've discussed this all the time throughout Shas, and that transition period is called benishmashos. So this twilight period that exists between day and night, so what is it? We don't know. It's a suffix. It could be day, could be night. How long does this period last of benishmashos? Okay, good. That's a lot of opinions regarding the length of that period of time. Right now, we could just speak about it more conceptually. We don't have to get into the details right now. Anyway, there is a period of time, this twilight period of time, where it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So now, if let's say the Kli becomes Tamei Nerev Yontif, so when should I tovel it? We all know the answer. You should tovel it before Yontif. But now we entered into the Benash Mashos period, where it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So now what? Don't tovel it. And for obvious reason. Meaning, because what is Benash Mashos? We don't know. But it is, as one of the possibilities, it's that it's nighttime. And obviously, at once it's nighttime, it is simply too late to tovel the kli. So once you've entered Beinash Mashos of Yantiv, so now you can't tovel the kli. Good. The Mishnah in Shabbos also makes the same exact point. Meaning the Mishnah in Shabbos that we're all familiar with, we say it every Friday night in Shul. So makes exactly the same point, that during the Beinash Mashos period, so you're not allowed to tovel a kli. Good. Now, it's the next point of the Gemara, which is going to be exciting, which the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time on. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Af Bechol Ein Madbil Naso Mimnei Shitzarech Erev Shemesh. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Beinash Hashmashos of any given day, so you're not allowed to tovel a kli during any Beinash Hashmashos of any given day. Now, that, of course, requires an explanation. Why not? Meaning, what's the problem with toveling a kli during the Beinash Hashmashos period? There's no Issur Derabanan. It's not Yontif. We're not on the transition period between a Chol and a Yontif. We're just, or a Chol and a Shabbos. We're just transitioning from one day to the next. So why can't I tovel during Beinash Mashos? So the reason is as follows. Because we know that in order for a Kli to become Tahor, so it's a two-step process. For anything to become Tahor, I'm saying a little too black and white. But for most things to become Tahor, it's a two-step process. You need Tvila B'Mikvah and you need Harav Shemesh. It has to experience sunset. So when you're toveling during Beinash Mashos, so you're past sunset. And now you're in a twilight period. Okay, so what's the big deal? So here, let me make a following suggestion. Why don't we tovel during Beinash Mashos, meaning it's not the optimal time to tovel. Why don't you tovel during Beinash Mashos, and then wait one more day, and then experience Harav Shemesh the next day? That'd be perfectly fine. Here's what Rav Shimon Shazuri is concerned about. His concern is that the person who toveled during Beinash Mashos, he doesn't know this. And because he doesn't know this, he thinks now that the Beinash Mashos now counts towards Erev Shemesh, and he's going to walk away thinking that the Kli is in fact perfectly Tahor, when meanwhile, it's not. Good.
We know Kli needs Erev Shemesh because people do, or is it
a... No, it's a halacha regarding anything that's Tameh, person or Kli. It needs Tefillah and it needs Erev Shemesh. Okay, good. Good. So that is Rav Shimon Shazuri's concern. Now, if that's his concern, the Tanakhama obviously is dismissive of that, because the Tanakhama says that the only Beinash Mashos that you need to worry about is the Beinash Mashos going into Yontif. So the Tanakhama is not worried about this concern. Now, the Tanakhama lo by Harav Shemesh. So now, according to the Tanakhama, don't I also need Harav Shemesh? Why is the Tanakhama not concerned? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So I'm a Rav Ashkechin l'Rabbanan debay Rav diyasu v'kamrei b'machshavas nikeres mitoch masav kamiflegi. So in an attempt to explain the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Shazuri, so in the base magic, so they said the following. Well, let's take a look now at what's happening. The guy is toveling his kli during Beinash Mashos, but moreover, we're going to give a little more context. He's running to tovel his kli. Okay, now I know the Bryce didn't say that, but we're injecting a little bit of narrative in order to give an explanation. And the Gemara says, Vehechi dami kagon denaka mani biyadei verahit. And so what he's doing now is he's running in order to tovel the kli in a mikvah, and it happens to be that he only got to the mikvah during Beinash Mashos. But he's running. Why is he running? Oh. So Mar Savar Hai Dekarait V'Azom Ediyad Debahayar of Shemesh Umar Savar Machmas Malach Zuhu Dekarait. Okay, and so now the Tanakhama says, I'll tell you why he's running. He's running because he knows. He knows that in order for the Kli to become Tahor, so it needs Tefillah, and it also needs Erev Shemesh. Okay, so he may have missed it. But by virtue of the fact that he's running, it tells us that he's educated. He's informed. And what this person now is going to do is that because he missed sunset, so he'll wait another day. But in other words, I can gauge that he's a knowledgeable person just by mere fact that he's running. That's the Tanakhama. Now, where is Rabbi Shimon Shazuri on this issue? Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says he's running. People run all the time. I don't know. He's running because he's late. Whatever. Just because he's running is not indicative of the fact that he's knowledgeable. So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, you can't count on the fact that just because he was running, oh, therefore he's knowledgeable. Okay. Yes, of course, we could quiz him. Right? Do you know about Harav Shemesh? But anyway, that right now, that's the Gemara's proposal of what the machlokus is. Can we gauge a person's knowledge base based on his actions? Okay, good. Now that's what they said in the Beis Medrash. Now remember, Rava was going and visiting. And Rava said, Rava is visiting the Beis Medrash, and Rava says, that's a nice attempt. So Anna b'machshavas, and he cares mitoch masav d'kulam lo pligi. So Rava says, no, that's not open for discussion. Now, it's funny. It's not open for a discussion. Where does he stand on the issue? I don't know. But in other words, he says, but that's not the machlokas. So, ki pligi kevin de itma bepachos mecha adasha. Va'asa lakami de rabbana lishui bepachos mecha adasha. So, itme olo. So, the Gemara says, Rava's explanation is like this. Again, he also has to give a little bit of narrative, meaning we have to add a couple more details over here so that we understand what the machlokas is. The detail that he adds is the following. So this guy now is not just toveling his kli, but he actually is also asking us the following question. My kli came into contact with sheretz. Okay, we know that eight sheretzim are going to give off tumah once the sheretz is dead. What are the eight sheretzim? The Torah lists them. What are the definitions of what they are? Good. I don't know. But the halacha is that the eight sheretzim, if they're dead and come into contact with the kli, are going to be in the time of the kli. But we also know that even if I don't have the whole sheretz over there, as long as I have part of the sheretz over there, it's metame. But we also know that how much sheretz do you need in order to be metame? The size of an adasha, size of a lentil. Okay. Now, this is, okay, and I don't mean to offend anyone, myself included, this is basic halacha. Okay. Like, everybody knows this. Again, if we lived in a world of Tumah Tahara, so this is like ABCs. So now, what happened was that he had a contact between sheretz and his kli, but the contact was with only part of his sheretz, and it was less than an adasha. And then he goes to his rav, he calls his rav up, and he says, oh, so now I have the following shaila. So my kli came into contact with the sheretz, but it was less than an adasha. Tamei or tahor? Now, if he's asking that question, so he does not know fundamentals. He doesn't know the basics of Tumah Tahara. So now that he does not know basics, so mar savar midahalo gamer, herv shamish namelo gamer. Okay, so now, what Shimon Shazuri is going to say is the following. If he doesn't even know Adasha, and the shear of the Adasha, he's not going to know about herv shamish. Meaning, once he has demonstrated that he really has not even rudimentary understandings of Tumah Tahara and basic halacha, so then we can assume he doesn't even know about herv shamish. Which is why you're not allowed to tovel during Ben Hashmashos. Because we can now assume in this scenario that he just simply doesn't know about a Harav Shemesh. Omar Sever, ha hu delo gamer, ha Harav Shemesh gamer. And the Tanakhama will tell you, oh, he might not know about Adasha, but that doesn't mean that he has no knowledge whatsoever about Tumah Tahara. Very well, he may know about Harav Shemesh. Okay. As much as I begin to understand, I don't fully understand this, meaning the idea that you know one halacha, therefore we can conclude whether he has knowledge about other halachas, and that's a machlokas tanayim. And there, it seems to be that there's more underpinning to this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Shazuri. But anyway, this is Rava's preferred explanation of the Braisa. Okay, we move on. Matbil migav legav. Okay, now we go to the last lines of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. The last lines of the Mishnah, I read the words yesterday, and I told you, We're not supposed to understand it, meaning the Gemara understands that we don't understand it. And so the Gemara now is going to explain, what did the Mishnah mean when it says, matbilim migav legav? So Tana Rabbanan. So here now, the Gemara is going to bring down a braisa that's really going to help our understanding of the Mishnah. Ketzan migav legav. Okay, so here the braisa says it straight out. What does that mean? So I wrote, Zalas says, gito agav kado, vikado agav gito, ose. So let's say as follows. You told the kli with the intent of using it for wine. And now, you change your mind. In other words, the kli is totally tahor. You toveled it for wine. But now I changed my mind. I want to use it now for olive oil. Alternatively, I toveled for olive oil. Now I want to use it for wine. So this is what's called migav agav. And under those circumstances, and a change of mind, so that would be fine. Now, fine says Rashi, meaning what? You don't even have to tovel it again. Meaning one can make a suggestion that if I told it for a specific purpose, so maybe my tefillah is only good for that specific purpose. When we get together for Masechah Chagiga, so we're going to see a lot of this kind of discussion, that tefillah for a specific purpose may only work for that particular purpose. And what we're learning in our Mishnah here in Beitza is that if the entire change over here, we're not talking about a paradigm shift, we're just talking about instead of using it for wine, I'm going to use it for olive oil, that's insignificant. And a tefillah for one would be good for the other. That's what our Mishnah is saying. Okay? And on our own, how are we supposed to know that? We're not. In other words, all the Mishnah says is matbilim migav agav. Okay, but with the Braisa now, so now we know. And ketzad mechabur lechabur. Now we get to the next part of the Mishnah, which again, we weren't expected to understand it. And the Gemara now quoting the Braisa, we're going to understand a little bit better. Hay ocha bechabur zu, if you're eating one chabura, v'rosa lecho bechabur acheres harishus biyado. So if you decide to join one chabura, and now you want to go to another chabura, so you have permission to do so. Rashi writes over here, and once again, you don't have to go ahead and tovel in the mikvah again. You tovel in the mikvah for one chabura, you then went ahead and decided, I don't want to eat with that chabura, I want to go to another one. So once again, the tefillah that you did for the first chabura is going to work for the second chabura. And you don't have to go ahead and tovel in the mikvah again. Okay, great. What chabura are we talking about? What's going on over here? So even with the braisa, it's a little bit incomplete in terms of what we're discussing. Good. Rashi over here writes, Rashi by chabura, Pesach. Ah. So in other words, Rashi assumes that we're going to speak about chabura in the context that we're most accustomed to hearing about, and that, of course, is Karm Pesach. And Rashi writes, Vayatame okelev tameim v'tavol ladas kain. So, and you want to eat with one chabura, and you decide now you're going to change, so you have permission to do so. And the Rashi over here, right, Rashi, next Rashi, Rishus v'yadov ein tzarech lachzav lidbol, v'kamri masis, and di'im ba'lahachmim v'lahatbo, kelev l'shem chabura cheres, matbo b'yantav. Now, as a chumrah, if you want to do so, so the Mishnah is giving you permission to do so, but you don't have to do so. Okay, that's the pshat in the Mishnah, which, okay, good. The Rashi over here is admittedly a little bit of a challenge, more than a little bit. Meaning, when are you making this decision? You know that we spoke in Pesachim about registering for a chabura and unregistering for a chabura, and we know that after the carbon is shechted, so at that point in time, it's too late. So did you change your mind before the Karban Pesach was shechted? Presumably, if you change your mind after the Karban Pesach was shechted, so at that point in time, that's it. You're locked. You're locked into that chabura. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, but it becomes a little bit of a challenge in terms of when exactly you made that decision. Good. Also, it's just one other point. It's also a little bit difficult because basically what we're learning together is that, look, there are times when you don't have to tovel, and when you don't have to tovel, and you decide as a chumah you want a tovel, so that's okay. Meaning the tefillahs that are prohibited on Yantiv and Shabbos are the tefillahs that are required and demanded. But if you're doing so just simply as a chumrah, that's okay. It's a little bit strange. Meaning if the chachamim banned tefillah on Shabbos and Yantiv, which they did, so now allowing to people to tovel als chumrah, right? What's going to happen to the gzeirah? I can imagine that once you see people toveling in the mikvah, and now you, right, everyone's going to be able to discern, they're just toveling as a chumrah, they're not toveling because they have to do so. Right? It's whatever. It's to say the least, it's going to be confusing to people. Okay, anyway, we continue.
The tefillah scaling we do now, which is based on a pasuk as opposed to a Torah,
needs Harish Shemesh? No, meaning what? No, now, the Harish Shemesh is only for Tumah Tahara. Only for Tumah Tahara. Okay. We're on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, halfway down the Amud, and a couple words of introduction. Really, Chagiga is where we're going to be speaking this in greater detail, but it relates to Yantiv, and so therefore we have to know about the Karbanos that you bring on Yantiv, okay? As we are now approaching Yantiv, Baruch Hashem, so if there was a Beis HaMikdash, and we were going to the Beis HaMikdash, so every one of us would be required to bring 3 Karbanos on every single Yantiv. Now, carbon number 1, Olas Re'iyah. So when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, so we have to bring a carbon Ola. Torah says, Lo Yeru Panai Rekam. You can't see me empty-handed. You have to bring a carbon Ola. This is what's called the Olas Re'iyah. Re'iyah because you were Ola L'Rego. And you were seen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, good. So for that, you bring a carbon Ola. That is a chova. It's an obligation. Number 2, Shamech Hagiga. The Torah also outlines that we have to bring a carbon shlamim for the yantiv, and we're going to call it shalmei chagiga. That's also a chov. That's also an obligation. There's a third carbon, which is a little bit more fluid and a little more flexible, and that's shalmei simcha, shlamim that you bring, but only to be mekayim the mitzvah of simcha. Simchas yantiv. So nowadays, simchas yantiv can be expressed through the Gemara Pesachim. We saw it not so long ago in 10th parak. So you can do simcha through gifts and through candies to your kids. But in other words, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, simcha is expressed through basar. And not just basar, but basar v'karban. Now, I say it's a little bit more fluid and a little more flexible because when it comes to shami simcha, it could really be the basar of any karban. Meaning, it doesn't have to be that you have to earmark a particular karban for the shami simcha. We'll speak a little bit more about this later on this morning. Anyway, but those are the three karbanos that one has to bring on every yantiv. Good. Now, let's also take the following into consideration as we're about to enter, about to learn our mission together. Okay, so now the Torah instructs us that for every yantiv, we have to bring these three karbanos. For these three karbanos that we need to bring, so you're going to bring them on yantiv. Okay, I know, right? That makes sense. Meaning, if the obligation is because of yantiv, so I'm going to bring them on yantiv. Here becomes the challenge. If I'm going to bring them on yantiv, so remember, yantiv, now we're not allowed to do malach on yantiv. We are allowed to do ochel nefesh. The Shamech HaGiga. So is there ochel nefesh involved in the Shamech HaGiga? Sure. Shamech HaGiga, like every other shlamim, so you're going to shecht it. Now parts of it are going to be offered on the Mizbeach, but the rest of it are going to be consumed by the owners, by the Kohanim. Good. So it's a shlamim. So is there ochel nefesh by shlamim? Absolutely. What about the Karban Ola? Is there ochel nefesh by the Karban Ola? No, none. Zero. The Karban Ola is going to be burnt in its entirety on the Mizbeach. So is there ochel nefesh by an Ola? No ochel nefesh. Okay, but at the same time, however, the Torah says that one is required to bring a Karban Ola on Yontif. So how does that work? So we're going to see now a Mishnah where machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And really, it's such a fundamental debate. I'll outline it outside, and we'll do it inside in just a moment. Beis Shammai says, yes, you're required to bring a Karban Ola, but no, you can't bring it on Yontif. What? So what do you do? So we know that for every Yontif, you have what's called Tashlumim. You have makeup days. Now, for two out of the three Yomim Tovim, those makeup days actually are represented by the rest of Yontif. So in other words, by Sukkot, we have makeup days that go all the way to Shmini Atzeres. By Pesach, we have makeup days that go all the way to the end of Pesach. What about Shavuos? So Shavuos, even though there are no Chol HaMoed days after Shavuos, but there's still Tashlumim. There's still a week in which you can make up the carbon that you didn't bring. According to Beis Shammai, so you know what you'll do for your Ola? What you'll do for your Ola is that you'll bring it just not on Yontif. You'll bring it the day after Yontif. And that's true for every Yontif. Now, what Beis Hillel's position is that no. The Torah requires to bring an Olas Re'iyah. I know there's no Ochel Nefesh, but at the same time, however, the Torah tells you to bring it on Yontif, you bring it on Yontif. Okay. That's the basic outline of what we're going to see together in the Mishnah. Let's see it inside. Beit Shammai Omrim, Mivin Shlamim, Ve'in Samchan Aleim. So Beit Shammai says that you'll bring your shlamim, but you can't do smicha. For every carbon, there's a mitzvah of smicha. You got to apply your weight to the head of the animal, put your hands and lean on the animal. That's called being mishamish in a bal chaim, in a living animal. And so Beit Shammai says, yeah, but you can't do that. It's rabbinically prohibited to do that on yantiv. And so therefore, don't do it on yantiv. The Mishnah doesn't say this, but it will become clear as we go through the Gemara. So what are you going to do with the mitzvah of smicha? You'll do it before yantiv. So before Yantiv, you'll do the smicha on the animal. I wasn't right before the shechita. Beis Shammai says, I know. I'm aware. And I'd prefer if the smicha were done immediately prior to the shechita. But in Yantiv, you don't have a choice. There's a rabbinic ban. You're not to do smicha on Yantiv. You do it before Yantiv. Good. The shlamim you're going to be offering on Yantiv. Avalo olos, but you don't bring your carbon ola on Yantiv. That is the shechita of Beis Shammai. And as I already explained outside, according to Beis Shammai, you'll just simply bring it the next day. But you can't bring it on Yantiv. Beis Hillel omrim mivin shlamim ve'olos v'samchan aleihem. And Beis Hillel will tell you that you bring shlamim, you bring olos, and you do smicha. Okay. So that is the machlokas as presented in the Mishnah. And Amar Ula, immediately we'll just jump right to the Gemara. Machlokas v'shamech hagiga. Lismuch ve'olos ria likarev. So as far as the topic of our Mishnah, so it's talking about those karbanos relative to Yantiv. Now I know I explained that, but I explained that with the knowledge that Ula, that was going to be exactly Ula's point. And that is that the Mishnah is talking specifically about the Karbanos of Yantav. The Ola is the Olas Re'iyah. The Shlamim of the Mishnah is the Shamei Chagiga. And Beit Shammai tells you that you can't bring the Ola on Yantav, and you will bring the Shlamim on Yantav. The Beit Shammai Savrei V'chagosam Aso Chag L'Hashem Chagiga in Olas Re'iyah Lo. So the Torah says that your Chogeg Chag L'Hashem. The Chogeg is a reference to the Shlamim. So that you're going to bring on Yantiv, but you're not going to bring the Olas Re'iyah. Ubeis Hillel Savre Kol Dela Hashem. And Beis Hillel will tell you, no, you bring the Ola as well. Why? So he darshins it from the Pasuk. And without going through the back and forth, presumably, Beis Shammai does not darshin it from the Pasukim. Good. So that's the Machlokis in the Mishnah. But Ula now moves on to another point. Aval Nedarim Unadavos Divrei Kol Ein Kriven B'Yantiv. Now, what about Nedar Nedava? You volunteered Kabanos. You made a pledge that you're going to bring karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, having nothing to do with Yontif. But it happens to be that, you know, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. So now, if I'm in the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif, so can I bring Nedra and Nadav on Yontif? So according to Ula, not on Yontif. Why? Because according to Ula, even though Nedra and Nadav, if they were Shechted on Yontif, let's assume they're Shlamim. If they were Shechted on Yontif, so would there be Ochel Nefesh? Yes. Even though that's true, but nevertheless, according to Ula, they can't be offered on Yontif. Why? Because the only carbonates that can be offered on Yontif are only those that are obligated to be brought on Yontif, since these can be brought on any other day, so you bring them on another day. That is Ula's understanding of the Mishnah, and comes out now according to Ula, Neder u'Nedav cannot be offered on Yontif. Now, V'chein amar Rav Adar Ba'ava, Nedar u'Nedav is in Kriyam V'Yomtav, and Rav Adar Ba'ava says same thing, that he explained the Mishnah the same way Ula explained the Mishnah. Meisrei, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to challenge you. Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, lo nechlu beishama beisela alo she'eino shel yomtov, she'eino kreva beyomtov. So, according to a braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar reports what his understanding of the machlokas between beishama and beisela is, and that is that they both agree that when it comes to an ola that has not connected to yomtov, you don't bring that in yomtov. Al shlamim she'ein shel yomtov she'kreva beyomtov. And a shlamin that is yantav related, otherwise known as the shami chagiga, that you do bring on yantav. Their dispute is regarding an ola related to yantav, otherwise known as the ola sriya, and any shlamim not related to yantav, otherwise known as nadar minadavos, shebe shame omrim lo yavi, ubeisila omrim yavi. So Beisila says you do bring them on yantav. Okay. In this brisa, the simplest reading of the brisa is that according to Beis Hillel, you are allowed to bring Nedarim and Nedavos on Yontif. That goes against Ula's explanation of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what Ula will have to do? So he'll edit. He'll take the Brisa we just learned, and he'll edit it. So Tritz Ve'imahachim. Okay, so with now an edited version of the Brisa, so Amr Shemem Lazon Lanechuk Beisham Beis Hillel Al Ola V'Shlamim She'inim Shel Yomtov She'in Kreven B'Yomtov Ola and Shlamim not Yontif related cannot be brought in Yontif. And shlamim she'ein shel yomtov shekreven biyantov. Shlamim of yantov, otherwise known as the shamech agiga, you do bring on yantov. Amanechlugo al ola she'ein shel yomtov shebeishamay armim lo yavu beisola armim yavi. Okay. And now with this edited version, so now it comes out exactly what Ula taught us. But what we needed to do in order to get here is that we basically needed to rewrite the brisa. Okay. And pause, obviously, for dramatic effect. So you're rewriting a brisa. That's tricky business. Meaning, and Rav Yosef is going to object exactly to that. Well, you're going to take a brisa that we have a mesorah for that brisa, and you're going to start editing the brisa. So Rav Yosef Amar Tanai Shakalta Me'ama Tanaihi. So Rav Yosef says, don't edit the brisa. Leave the brisa as it is. I know it doesn't conform with your opinion, Ula, but we have other brisas, and other brisas do agree with you. So Rav Yosef says, it's a machlokas Tanayim. Okay, so, and what you can do, right, Rav Yosef is going to tell Ula, what you can do is that you can subscribe to the brisa which I'm about to introduce to you, and you don't have to edit the brisa that we just learned together. So, Detanya, the Gemara now introduces us to another brisa. Shlamim habayim machmas yomtov biyomtov beishamay omrim somechalem me'erev yomtov v'shochtem biyomtov ubeisel omrim somechalem biyomtov v'shochtem biyomtov. So, shamay chagiga, so you're going to offer a yomtov. The debate is when you're going to do smicha. Beishamay says do it before yomtov. Beisel says do it on yomtov. But the shamay chagiga, you're going to offer a yomtov. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Aval Nedar Nedavos Divrei Akol Ain Kriven Biyamtov, but Nedar Nedavi cannot offer a Yantov. So Adkan Divrei Habraisa. That is exactly what Ula said. And Rav Yosef's point is, it's Machlokas Tanayim. Okay, one Tana says yes, the other Tana says no. In terms of Nedar Nedavos, good. Okay, V'Hani Tanai Ki Hani Tanai. Okay, and now what we're going to demonstrate, and it's going to take basically the entirety of Amud Beis, is that this Machlokas Tanayim that we just learned together, in terms of whether or not Nedarim and Nedavos can be offered on Yontif, it happens to be a Machlokas Tanayim. Now, we just established that, but we're going to learn another Brisa, and it's going to be clear in the second Brisa that we're learning now. A second. It's already more than two, but in this next Brisa that we're learning together, it's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether or not Nedarim and Nedavos can be offered on Yontif. So, V'hani Tanayi Kihani Tanayi, D'Tanya, we learned on a Brisa. Ein Mivin Torah B'chaga Matzos Mimnei Chamesh Shaba. Can I bring the carbon Torah on Pesach? When we say Pesach right now, so we mean Chol HaMoed Pesach. Now, let me just take one step further backwards. Carbon Toda, we're all familiar. Carbon Toda is a shlamim, but it's a unique shlamim. It's a shlamim that, first of all, you bring. Shlamim, you could just simply volunteer to bring offer carbon shlamim anytime you want, and you don't need a particularly good reason. You just simply want to offer carbon. Good. A carbon toda. So a carbon toda, although it is voluntary, but it's also a response. A response to what? So you just survived something that was life-harrowing. The Gemara in Brachos goes through four different scenarios where you survived. You survived illness, you survived the desert, you survived jail, you survived the ocean. Okay, and the Gemara in Brachos predicates all that based on a perek in Tehillim, and hopefully I remember correctly, it is the 107th perek of Tehillim. Okay, anyway, but so you want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you carbon toda. Carbon toda is a response now to that. Now, the carbon toda is a response. It's a carbon shlamim, but it's slightly unusual. A whole bunch of loaves of bread are offered together with it. We'll attach a number to it, 40 loaves of bread. Of those loaves of bread, really 30 of them are matzah, 10 of them are chametz. On top of that, the amount of time that's eaten is also going to be not your typical shlamim. Typical shlamim is eaten for 2 days and the night in between. Carbon toda is only eaten for 1 day and 1 night. Anyway, the point is that a carbon toda can be offered anytime during the year. So, with that stated, now let's do this again. Ein mevi en toda b'chag ha-matzos mimnei chametz shabbat. So, how about bringing the carbon toda on Pesach? And right now, let's assume we're talking about Chol HaMoed. So, you can't. Why? Because, as I got done saying, because there's chametz in the carbon toda, right? It's one of the rarities where the bread is going to be leavened bread. It's going to be chametz. Can't bring it on Pesach. You're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Good. So, v'lo b'atzos mimnei shu yontov. Now, you can't bring a carbon toda on Shavuos because what is Shavuos? There is no Chol HaMoed of Shavuos. Shavuos is just 1 day of Yontif. So, okay, fine. So you can't bring it on Shavuos. Aval mevi adam todas b'chag ha-sukkos. So when can you bring a carbon toda? So you bring it on Sukkos. Okay? Good. Chol HaMoed. Good. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Harei Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, nope, you can't do it. Why not? B'chag ha-matzos b'chag ha-shavuos b'chag ha-sukkos. So he has a drasha. And that is, kol shabah b'chag ha-matzos, ba b'chag ha-shavuos, v'chag ha-sukkos. V'chol shalom ba b'chag ha-matzos, ena ba b'chag ha-shavuos, v'chag ha-sukkos. And according to Rabbi Shimon, look, the three Yom and Tovim are linked together, and because I can't bring a toda on Pesach, so I can't bring a toda on Sukkos as well. Even though the reason isn't there, in other words, obviously on Sukkos, you're allowed to eat chametz, but, okay, it's a drasha, it's a hekesh. Okay. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer, maybe Adam Todasu Bechagasukos, Vyotseba Yide Chavasu Mishum Simcha, Vein Yotseba Yide Mishum Chagiga. And then Rabbi Shimon says that you'll bring your carbon toda on Sukkos. Now, will it work towards your mitzvah of Shami Simcha? Yes. Because as I said in the introduction to the Mishnah, Shami Simcha is a requirement that you have to eat the meat of a carbon. But in terms of what carbon? Any carbon. Meaning you don't have to designate an animal specifically for Shami Simcha. In other words, even if you're just bringing a carbon anyway, so as long as you're eating the meat of that carbon, assuming of course you can, it's a shlamim, but as long as you're eating the meat of it, so you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Simchas Yontov. That's Shami Simcha. Can I use my carbon toda for a carbon chagiga? The answer is unequivocally no. Because a Shami Chagiga is a chova, that in of itself is obligation. It has to be Bama Nechulin. You have to bring it from an unassigned, undesignated animal. The carbon toda is already assigned as a carbon, and you can't double dip. You can't already be required to bring a carbon toda and double that as your carbon chagiga. Good. That is the Braisa. Now, here's that was the easy part. Here comes the hard part. We have to unpackage the Braisa. Meaning that what we're trying to tease out of this brisa is that behind this brisa is a machlokas of whether or not you're allowed to offer nedarim nedavos on yantif. Did you see any of that in the brisa? The answer is no. You didn't see that in the brisa. So now what we're going to do is that we're going to unfold the brisa and encode it, encrypt it in the brisa, is this machlokas of whether or not one is allowed to offer nedarim nedavos on yantif. So that this now becomes the hard part, but we'll navigate. Amar Mar, Ein Mevi'in Toda B'chag HaMatzos Mimnei Chametz Shabbat Pshita. So the Gemara says you don't bring a carbon toda on Pesach because it's got chametz. And the Gemara basically says, we would have figured it out. Without a Braisa, we all would have known that. Right? Rule number one on Pesach, don't eat chametz. It's pretty obvious. And even though, yeah, I know it's a carbon toda and it's really important. I know it's really important. Just bring it some other time. Not on Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's inject a little bit of a chiddush over here. So I'm Rav Ada Bered Rav Yitzchak V'Amila Rav Shmuel Baraba Hacha Barabas Araskin V'Kasar V'Mivin Kashim LeBeis Apsul. Okay, so as far as the chiddush is concerned, so of course you're not allowed to bring the Karmen Torah on Pesach. We could have figured that out. The chiddush over here is not even an Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. So what do we know? We know that Chametz is Asur on Erev Pesach Michatzos Ve'Elech from midday and onward. Now, let's say I bring my Karmen Torah in the morning of Erev Pesach. No good. Even though I'm allowed to eat chametz on Pesach morning, however, what we're not allowed to do is we're not allowed to shorten the shelf life of a carbon. Every carbon's got a shelf life. A carbon Torah, as we pointed out moments earlier, is for one day and for one night. If I bring an Erev Pesach, you know what's going to happen? I'm only going to be able to eat the chametz Shabbat only up until Chatzos. I've just significantly shortened the shelf life of the carbon Torah. You're not allowed to do that. Right, that's Ein Mevian, Kachel on the base of soul.
Just like on a regular day, if you brought it, you couldn't eat it within an hour. If you could muster the crowds and finish it off in an hour, you have to spread out over like 36 hours.
No, what?
I'm saying you could eat it on the whole morning.
You have the morning. You have the morning.
So what's wrong?
No, so what's wrong is that what you...
You have nothing left.
I understand if you finish it, but still, if the Torah allots a time... And we're going to cut down on the time, even though practically, let's say we do finish it. But we just, that is a, I'm not sure what to call it. It's an Issa D'Oraisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. I don't know the correct way to categorize it, but you're not allowed to do it. You just can't do it.
So you must stretch the food for that time?
You don't have to stretch it. You just simply have to have an allowance. If the Torah gives a certain time allowance, you have to put yourself in a situation where you have the time allowance. That's all. Okay. Now, the Tanakhama says that you can't offer the Karmen Torah on Yantav. Oh, so right now, so here now, oh good. So now we are starting to uncover. And the reason why, Kasavar, it's because Nedar Nadava St. Craven Yantav. Because Nedar Nadava cannot be offered on Yantav. Wonderful. Okay, good. So far now, we've uncovered at least one side of the debate. So Karmen Torah obviously is a neder nedava, falls under the category of a voluntary offering. I know it's a little bit funny to call a Karmen Torah voluntary. In other words, it is you thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving your life, but still, when all said and done, you're not obligated to bring the Karmen Torah, but it is, how do I say this, strongly encouraged, right? It's required in the sense of, it's intuitive, and the Torah instructs you to do so. But it's not a chova, it's not an obligation. Okay, anyway. What I'm trying to say is it falls under the category of neder nedava. And by virtue of the fact that the Tanakhama of the Braisa says you can't offer it on Shavuos, yeah, because Shavuos is just Yantiv, and you're not allowed to offer it on Yantiv. Okay, good. Now, maybe Adam Tadasa Bechaga Sukkos, Amos. Now, when it says that you're offering the Karmen Torah on Sukkos, this is still all the Tanakhama. So what does that mean? So we know. The Gemara is just going to spell it out. So Amos, Elim, Abi Yantiv Atzma, Bahamar, Loba, Atzeres, Mimishu, Yantiv. So on Sukkos, it can't be the Yontif of Sukkos because we just established that the Tanakhama holds you can't offer Neder Nadav on Yontif. So Ela B'chol Shal Moed. Okay, so it's Chol Moed. Good. So far, we've unfolded the Shita of the Tanakhama. Good. Now, what we need to do is we need to get to the next side, which is that there's a Tana out there in the Braisa we just learned who says that you are allowed to offer Neder Nadav on Yontif. So stay tuned. It's coming. Rabbi Shimon Omer Hare Omer Bechag Amatzus Bechag Shvus Bechag Sukkos Koshba Bechag Sukkos Ba Bechag Shvus Bechag Sukkos Vechoshlo Ba Bechag Amatzus Ina Ba Bechag Shvus Bechag Sukkos. Okay, and then Rabbi Shimon has his drasha. Okay, in other words, if I can't bring in a one, I can't bring in an any. Now Maskev for Rabbi Zera Hashta Saluti Masaltina and Darin Adavas Mibaye. So Rabbi Zera says, look, I understand, but I don't understand. Meaning, you have a hekesh, you have a drasha. But when all said and done, we're talking about Chol HaMoed. So let's go over some of the things that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. You can get in your car and you can drive in Chol HaMoed. I know I'm giving a modern example. But in other words, if it's Sorech HaMoed, you can violate any malacha on Chol HaMoed. So, and the Gemara's example over here, Saluti Mesaltinan, Rashi over here explains, you could chop trees down, right? If it's Sorech HaMoed, if I need wood on Chol HaMoed, I can go and chop a tree down. So I can violate malachas on Chol HaMoed, for Tzorech Moed. You mean to tell me that I can't offer Nedar Nedavos on Chol HaMoed? Meaning, hekesh aside, it's just an impossible position. Of course you can offer Nedarim and Nedavos on Chol HaMoed. It's impossible to consider anything otherwise. So the Amar Abaye. So Abaye says like this. You're right. In other words, so what we need to do is that we're going to have to give a totally new understanding to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, right? The second and third opinion of the Braisa. So Amar Abaye ba'akrava kol ha'ama lo pligi d'shari. Are you allowed to offer Nedarim and Nedavos on Chol HaMoed? Of course you are. Yes. And ki pligi lamekam ala bevalte acher. Now, and so really underlying the machlokas in our Mishnah is the issue of balte acher. Okay, now, quick introduction. Balte acher, you make a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash you're going to offer a carbon. Okay, now there's a deadline. The Torah says in Parshas Kiseitse that you have to bring it within a certain time. And if you don't bring it within a certain time, so now you are violating the law of the Torah of balte acher. You went. Deadline. Now, what is the deadline? The deadlines are three yantifs. Yes and no. And as we're going to about to see, there are three opinions in terms of how to gauge when that deadline is going to hit and when you violate this sister of Balte Acher. So, Tanakam is Avashal Shregalim Amar Rechman Afilu Sholok Kisidran. So the Tanakam is of the position that it's three yantifs and Afilu Sholok Kisidran. In other words, every yantif is a checkpoint. It doesn't matter which yantifs you hit at what point in time. Everyone just simply is going to be a checkpoint. Once you pass three, that's it. You went over the limit, and it's no good. So if I let's say made the neder, what's today? Today is a couple days before Sukkot. If I made the neder now, so according to the Tanakhama, Sukkot now counts as one. And then Pesach counts as two. And now Shavuos, if Shavuos comes and goes, you violate Baal Te'acher. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Kisidran Inch Lo, Kisidran Lo. Now Rabbi Shimon will tell you that no, to violate Baal Te'acher, so it has to be three yantavs?
Starting with
Pesach. Pesach is yantav number one. Shavuos is number two. Sukkot is number three. Okay, so now I'm a couple days before Sukkot. I make my neder. So according to Rabbi Shimon, now what does that mean? It means now I have a whole year. I actually have more than a year.
Four yantif.
Huh?
Four yantif.
I have five.
Yeah. No, Sukkot.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. If I do it before Shavuos, then I can have five. Right. Okay, good. Okay, good. We're all on the same page. Good. So it has to be Kisidran. Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Shimon Omer. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that's the third opinion of this Braisa. So what's his position? So Omer Mevi Adam Todasa Bechaga Sukkos. Now you're going to bring your carbon toda on Sukkos. Now Amos. Now Gemara says, now when? Elam Bechol Shom Oed Hainu Tanakama. Now Chol HaMoed, no, that's the Tanakama. Ela B'Yom Tov, so it's talking about on Yantav itself. Because Sovereign Nedarim Nedarim is craving B'Yom Tov. Because he's of the opinion that Nedarim Nedarim can actually be offered on Yantav itself. So now, his whole point is that you're bringing on Sukkos. And even on Yontif of Sukkos. But why did he select Sukkos as the example? Could have been any of the Yontifs. The Gemara says, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Latayim, Detayim, Rebbe Shimon, Elazar. I'm sorry. Rebbe Shimon, Omer, Lo Yomer Chag HaSukkos Shabo, HaKasav Medaber. Laman Emer, Lama Shazeh Acharon. So according to Rebbe Shimon, it's to tell me that Sukkos is the last Yontif. Meaning for Baal Te'acher, it's going to be Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, and it's going to be Pesach Shavuos Sukkos in that order. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lamer Shezeh Gorei. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not three yantifs. It's one yantif. Meaning you pass one yantif, and that's it. You're already in violation of Baal Te'acher. Okay, so.
What do you do for Pesach?
Huh?
What do you do for Pesach?
And I'm saying Sukkos.
Sukkos.
One yantif is a Sukkos.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Right. Correct. Okay, so what comes out now is the following. So in this Braisa, there's a lot of unpackaging. So in this Braisa, so they're arguing on a number of issues. They're first arguing on whether or not Nedarim and Nedavos can be offered on Yontif. Tanakhama says no, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that's the third opinion, says yes, you're allowed to. Okay, where does Rabbi Shimon stand on that issue? Not unsure. But that's the, he also says no, sorry. He also says no. So that's one issue. And the secondary issue is Baal Te'acher. Meaning, one is when is one violating the Isra Baal Te'acher? So that's also a machlokas. Three different opinions in terms of when that is. According to the Tanakhama, Baal Te'achar is going to be violated when you pass three yantifs, and it doesn't matter what order they are. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have to pass them over Kiseder in order of Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you violate it only when you go over one yantif, and specifically the yantif of Sukkos.
So if according to Rabbi Shimon, if you have one yantif, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a carbon Torah to bring, and it's Erev Pesach, what do you do then?
So Erev Pesach.
You can bring carbon Torah Erev Pesach. So what happened to that deadline?
So then, okay, it's a good question. I'm not sure.
Would you say that's onus and it goes?
Yeah, but I think so. Yeah, it sounds that way. I agree. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay, and the so good. So those are the machloksim. And the truth of the matter is, I just want to add one more point. And the truth of the matter is that in terms of the Rabbi Shimon giving his particular example, you can see Rashi goes through. So why is he highlighting Sukkos? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, well, Sukkos is going to be your only time that you can offer the Karban Todah. Meaning for Rabbi Shimon that you're not allowed to offer Nedar Medavos on Yantiv. So now, right, Pesach is out of the question for your Karban Todah because of the Chametz. And Shavuos, you can't offer it because it's Yantiv. So really, the truth of the matter is that Sukkos is really the only opportunity you're going to have year-round to offer your Karban Todah. So if, let's say, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're encountering your first Sukkos, so you best be offering it now, just from a practical standpoint, because Pesach is out of the question and Shavuos is going to be out of the question. So it's just advisable to offer it now. It falls into the category of Eitzah Tova. See Rashi for more details regarding that. Okay, we'll stop over here and let's just quickly wrap. Okay, in terms of the first part of today's daf. So we continue our discussion regarding Tovel and Kelim on Yantiv, you're not allowed to, and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to, Hashaka, you're allowed to, and then a question of, we had a Braisa presenting a Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, is our Mishnah going like Rebbe's or going like the Chachamim? The Gemara says, we could squeeze our Mishnah into either Rebbe or the Chachamim, it's possible. Next discussion of our Gemara, in terms of first half, was a machlokas of whether or not you could be toveling a kli during Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos Yantav, for sure you cannot. In other words, because you're not allowed to tovel on Yantav, and you're not allowed to tovel the Bein HaShemashos Yantav, because that's Safek Yantav. What about toveling a kli on just Stam, a regular Bein HaShemashos period? Machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Shazuri, and the Gemara brought us to the Beis Medrash where they tried out a couple of pshatim in terms of what is the machlokas over there for a standard Bein HaShemashos period. What are they arguing about? Okay. Next, the remainder of today's daf, we talked about the kabbanas that are offered on Yantav. The Shalmei Chagiga, the Olas Re'iya, the Shalmei Simcha. And so now, for the Shalmei Chagiga, you offer that on Yantav. Agreement. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel agree. You offer the Shalmei Chagiga on Yantav itself. Because it's a chova for Yantav and there's Ochel Nefesh. Olas Re'iya, so machlokes between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says that you're going to be offering your Olas Re'iya, but not on Yantav. In other words, you'll bring it during one of the Tashlumim days afterwards, but not on Yantiv. And and Beis Hillel says you do offer the Olas Riya on Yantiv itself. It's a Chovas Hayom, and you bring it on Yantiv, and the Gemara brought a Drasha. Okay, and then for the remainder of today's daf, what was our discussion? Nedarim and Nedavos. So let's say you had Stam pledges that you made in terms of other Karbanos that you wanted to bring. And now, obviously, you're Shlam, you're in the, you're Yantiv, you're in the Beis HaMikdash. So can I bring my Nedarim and Nedavos on Yantiv itself? So our Mishnah is not clear. Ula's of the position that our Mishnah is only talking about Shalmei Chagiga, but it goes without saying that you cannot offer Nedarim and Nedavos on Yantiv. And then what we spent the rest of today discussing is Machlokas Tanaim. Meaning Ula's position is subject to a Machlokas Tanaim. And what we did on both the Amud Aleph and on the Amud Beis today is we went through a series of brisas that debate and deliberate this very issue.